In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christmas Eve is just 1 week from today. That means for the pagan world around us, the culmination of the Christmas season is almost here. And so final preparations are being made as our pagan friends and neighbors are hustling and bustling about, running to the store or shopping online to buy last-minute gifts, getting them wrapped perfectly to put them under the tree, making food, dinner preparations for the Christmas meal, baking those holiday treats, finalizing travel plans, whatever the case may be. As the culmination of the Christmas season quickly approaches, this is how the pagan world prepares for Christmas. And yet, for us Christians, we prepare very differently. In fact, we do not even consider this season to be Christmas yet. We're still in Advent. And Advent is our season to prepare for Christmas in a very different way, a very distinct way from the world. So during this Advent season, the primary voice, the primary message of preparation comes from St. John the Baptizer. And his words have been with us since the beginning of the Advent season, though admittedly, until today, he has very much been in the background. On the first Sunday in Advent, we hear John only briefly mentioned in the proper preface leading up to the service of Holy Communion. And John's message there in the proper preface is a message calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. And so John instructs us to prepare through repentance. This is in many ways the primary message that he declares. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And of course, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. St. John the Baptizer is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so he instructs us to prepare through repentance, through acknowledging our sins, because Christ is coming. And so we recall, especially on the first Sunday in Advent, the humble coming of our Lord. Just as our Lord Jesus came as a humble babe in Bethlehem, so too did he come to Jerusalem as a humble king riding on a lowly donkey, bearing the sins of the world, your sins and mine, unto the cross. That same humble king continues to come to us now through the humble means of word and sacrament. And yet, there will come a time, a day will approach when this humble coming of our King will no longer be the case. He will not come humbly to us forever, because there will come a time when he comes again in glory. And that was especially the focus of last Sunday. Christ will come in glory to judge both the living and the dead. And as the proper preface tells us, he will come not just in judgment, but in wrath. Wrath against sin and against sinners. And so John instructs us to prepare not just to celebrate Christmas, but to prepare for Christ's second coming through repentance, so that we might not be those on whom the wrath of God falls when Christ returns on the last day. But last Sunday, the second Sunday in Advent, we heard even more from John. He appeared not only in the proper preface, but he appeared in the verse immediately preceding the reading of the Holy Gospel. Our King shall come, even Christ, whom John proclaimed to be the Lamb which was to come. St. John's message certainly revolves around repentance. But it also very much revolves around the pointing to Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And so, the words of John ring out throughout the Advent season, and indeed throughout the entire church year, as we sing, O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. And we sing those words in faith, knowing and trusting that he will indeed have mercy upon us, that he does indeed grant us his peace, because Christ is the Lamb of God. He has gone to the cross to suffer and die, to atone for your sins, so that when you repent and look to him in faith, you may know and trust in confidence that eternal life is yours. So John instructs us during this season of Advent to prepare by repentance and by looking to Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. But now today, on the third Sunday in Advent, John comes to us again, this time from prison. And he asks an all-important question. Indeed, these are the only words of John in today's gospel text. But this question, as I said, is all-important. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now, much debate has been had over these words as to the motivation behind them. Is John really doubting and asking this question for his own sake, or is he like a good and clever teacher asking a question to which he already knows the answer so that his disciples can discover it for themselves and be pointed to Christ more clearly? In many ways, it doesn't really matter what John's motivation is, why he is asking this question. What matters for us in our preparations for Christmas is the words themselves, the content of the question. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? This is the all-important question, because either Jesus is who he claims to be, or he's not. John does not envision an alternative because there is no alternative. Either Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the eternally begotten Son of the Father, or he is not. Either Jesus is the resurrection and the life, or he is not. Either Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him, or he is not. There is no alternative. Jesus cannot be reduced to a mere moral instructor. He cannot be additional flavoring upon your already held beliefs. Jesus either is who he claims to be, or he is not. He is either true God and true man who has atoned for your sins and demands your whole allegiance, or he is a fraud and a complete waste of your time. There is no alternative. And yet, my friends, we know the truth. Jesus is who he claims to be. His words in the gospel text demonstrate he is the Messiah, the coming one, because he has made the blind to see. He has made the lame to walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and you poor miserable sinners have the gospel preached to you. Jesus is who he claims to be. So that means for you and I that as we prepare for this Christmas celebration on December 24th and 25th, this means that we must not, we cannot fall into the ways of thinking of the world, celebrating Christmas as a consumerist holiday that's all about gifts and food and family and feeling good. Christmas is not about those things. It cannot be. Because it's all about Christ. Because either Christ is everything or he is nothing. And we know indeed that he is everything. And so December 24th and 25th are not the culmination of a festive season. They are the beginning of our Lord's salvation. The babe who was born in Bethlehem was born to die for you. He is all that matters. Faith in him is the only thing that you ought to be concerned with this Christmas season. And so, my friends, as we prepare to celebrate our Lord's nativity, we Christians don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the holidays. Rather, we look to the Lamb who takes away our sins. We repent and prepare for both his continual coming among us in word and sacrament and also for his impending return on the last day. And all of this is because Jesus is exactly who he claims to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.